said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. He said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, thank you again that we could gather together here. We just praise you and thank you for your goodness and mercy. Bless the message, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We looked at some things this morning. Number one, we looked at the separation of sin and how leprosy is of course, a picture of sin in the Bible. And as we talked quite a bit about what sin is, we all understand, I think, we're Christians, we understand what sin is. You understand also that even though you're saved, now what? You didn't turn it on for me? You want me to do that too?
You want to be heard?
I want to be heard, yes. Is it on now?
It is, thank you.
All right.
Can you hear me now?
I don't know where I was.
The Bible.
Listen, at this age, you don't want to interrupt at this age, because if you interrupt at this, that's it. We're done.
Now
we're going to start all over. Let's stand and read. No. Stand and read the scriptures again. We said that the separation of sin and how leprosy is a type of sin, and we talked about what sin was this morning. Then, secondly, we talked about the search for serenity. Everybody wants peace of life and peace of mind, and everybody wants just to have a nice... Don't you want to have just a nice, calm life?
Amen.
Isn't that good? When you have a nice, calm day, isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Moms, dads, isn't that good? You have a good day at work, and it's not so hectic that you're pulling whatever hair you got out, and you're not... in all kinds of turmoil, and moms, the kids are good, and things are going fairly well. You like to have those days periodically, right? We all like to have those days. Even when retired people, we like to have things that don't break, you know. We had to buy a new dryer the other day, and so we had to put that in yesterday and got rid of the old. Well, the old one's still sitting on the back patio. It's going to your place.
Good.
You take dryers?
Yes, we do.
Well, you're going to be getting one this week. Well, whenever I can get it over. We like serenity. We like calm. Number three, we looked at the solution of the Savior. Jesus told them one thing to do. He simply said, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. We talked about how serious leprosy is. It's a fatal, practically a fatal disease. If you had leprosy back in the time of Christ and before, you pretty much were doomed to die a horrible, horrible death. It was extremely painful. You had to be... Turn over to Leviticus 13 real quick. I saw something there that reminds me of something that we just went through ourselves with this pandemic, scamdemic, whatever you want to call it. The coronavirus. In Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, of course, Leviticus 13 and 14 have the law portion, exactly what to do if the priest looks upon you and you had leprosy, he told you what to do and you had to do it. In 45 it says, And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and shall put a covering upon his upper lip. That's like face coverings, amen? Mm-hmm. Masks. Didn't we just go through that whole thing? Some people are still wearing masks. Some places are still required to wear masks. But that's exactly what it is. And shall cry unclean, unclean. Verse 46, all the days wherewith the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall be his habitation. Shall his habitation be? That's the quarantining taking effect. So, face coverings and quarantine was during the time of the law, during a time when leprosy was that serious. It was an extremely contagious disease, like the coronavirus is, and other illnesses can be extremely contagious, passed from one person to another. Leprosy was that way. And so getting back to our text, we see here that Jesus healed them by telling them to go and show themselves to the priest. That's an Old Testament process. That was part of the law. And so they did that, and as they went, the Bible says they were cleansed in verse 14 of Luke chapter 17. Tonight we get to the last point of this four-point message, and that's the satisfaction of the Samaritan. The satisfaction of the Samaritan. The Bible says in one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God.
Amen.
Loud voice. He didn't come back and whisper something sweet to Jesus. He wasn't a closet Christian. He wasn't one of these types that, I'll just live my life as a Christian and expect people to see my Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
No, he wasn't that way at all. There are some people like that today. I've known some Christians that they're considered closet Christians. They're considered that way because they don't want to be, they don't want to voice what they believe. And so they go through this thing where they try to live their life the best they can, and that shows the world that they're a Christian. Well, I know some lost people who live a very moral and clean.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, you look on the outside, and they look like they're living they look and act like Christians. There's more to Christianity than just trying to show it outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature."
Right.
He didn't just say live it. He said, "You got to preach it. You got to declare it." And so that was important. This guy, only one out of the ten. Always surprised me that only one out of the ten came back and did this. Just one. 10 guys are healed. They have their whole life back again. They have their family back. They have their jobs back. They have their social status back. They have everything back. They can go in and move around amongst the others and again, be with their family. And they didn't even stop to think to thank the one that healed them.
That's right.
Never did. One guy comes back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his face. Fell on his face, at his feet, Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. The Bible says he was a Samaritan. Now, I guess the question is, were the other 9 Samaritans too? Possibly. It's a possibility that the other 9, that they were all from that same village, from the same area. They could have all been Samaritans. But the Bible specifically, Luke specifically, says that this man was a Samaritan. Samaritans were not looked at well by Jews. And Samaritans didn't like Jews, and Jews didn't like Samaritans. They had this hate relationship that we know of. But it's interesting that every Samaritan that I find in the Bible, the New Testament anyway, God did some amazing things in their life. We're going to look at some of these here tonight, but before we do, I want you to go over to John chapter 8 and look at verse 48. John 8:48. And while you're turning over there, just again, as we talk about this one man that came back, he received the cleansing from the disease. He was healed from leprosy, but he alone received a cleansing for his soul. I personally believe that the other 9 did not get saved, as we say today, or were believers. Only one out of the 10. Jesus makes that very clear when he says to the gentleman that he was made whole. His faith made him whole in verse 19 of Luke chapter 17. The other 9 were healed physically. They got a whole new start of life physically, but not spiritually. But this one man received both a spiritual healing and a physical healing.
Amen.
We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. And he alone saw Jesus as God.
Amen.
The other 9 didn't. I don't believe that they recognized him as God.
Amen.
They cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." But this man comes back and is giving God glory. That means he's recognizing Jesus Christ as God,
Amen.
Deity. He falls on his face, and he is literally worshiping Jesus Christ, and you only do that if you know that Jesus Christ is God. And so this gentleman, this one man, this Samaritan, did that. And so he is clearly a man that is being a believer,
Amen.
And getting saved. In John chapter 8, verse 48, it's interesting that what they said about Jesus Christ. Look at it. It says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Did you see that the Jews equated Samaritans with devil-possessed people? And what they were doing is they were actually calling Jesus a Samaritan. That was a slap in the face of any Jew to be called. It's like cursing and swearing at somebody.
Yeah.
And that's what they actually groveled at Jesus Christ. They literally called him a Samaritan, which was the lowest thing that you could call anybody of those days. And I'm not going to say anything in here. We're not going to ask you to, you know, there's a lot of things that people say about other people today that we call people names. There's racial slurs out there that people are calling people, which is, it's ungodly and it's wrong. That we act that way. I hope and pray that you as a Christian never do that.
Amen.
Never do that. Never call anybody a name. You don't treat human beings like that.
Amen.
But they treated Jesus Christ like that. Of course, that wasn't all they did. They nailed him to a cross.
Amen.
But in the process here, they called him a Samaritan. Then in Luke chapter 10, we have the example of the Good Samaritan. In Luke chapter 10, some people refer to this as a parable. I do not.
Right.
I don't think it was a parable. I think it was an actual happening. And I'll show you why. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 25, we have the story of the, as we call him the Good Samaritan, right? The story of the Good Samaritan. And in verse 25 of Luke 10, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" You can almost sense the sarcasm in his voice. "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." It doesn't say anything here about that this is a parable.
Right.
Doesn't say that, and Jesus spoke a parable, like we see that many times in the gospel. He said, actually, a certain man. That tells me that there was a certain man. This happened. This is something that Jesus knew about, and he's recalling it. He's recapping it. He's giving this gentleman this story. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. How come the Levite and the priest had no compassion on this man? How come these religious leaders had no inclination to help this man that was literally lying there dying? Could have died if it wasn't for the Samaritan that came along. We have a lot of religious leaders today that could care less about people's soul. Could care less about the needs of other people. But that's a whole different sermon, I guess. The Samaritan comes along, and the Samaritan shows compassion on him. Remember, the Samaritans were hated by Jewish people. And Samaritans didn't like the Jews either. But this man goes out of his way to show compassion.
Amen.
He went to him and bound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." And then Jesus asks the question, which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he answered, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. But the story here is that the Samaritan was shown to be a good Samaritan.
Amen.
The goodness of this Samaritan was the only one who cared anything about this man that was injured and practically dying. He went out of his way. He took care of him physically, bound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine. That's an antiseptic, a soothing oil and an antiseptic. And then took him to an inn, and the Bible says, and took care of him. He just didn't drop him off and take off and run.
Yeah.
He brought him there, spent the night there, making sure that this guy was going to survive.
That's good.
And kept pouring in the oil, apparently, and putting in the antiseptic and making sure that the wounds were okay and trying to tend to him as best as he could. I don't think he was a doctor, but he realized that this was something that could help this man. And then he takes out some money out of his own pocket. Try to get money out of Baptist today. It's like...
Amen.
Amen. This man took out 2 pence, which was 2 days' wages back in those days.
Yep.
That was a lot of money back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just a, you know, give you a dollar and here, do something with yourself. No, he took out enough money to really help this man.
That's right.
Paid his hotel bill, which in today's day and age, hotel bills are quite expensive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so he took care of this man. And then he told the innkeeper, and if there's any other expenses, just I'll take care of it when I come back.
Amen.
This was a Samaritan that did this. Not a priest, not a Levite, not a Jewish man. It was a Samaritan. I don't see anything negative that Jesus ever taught about a Samaritan in the Bible.
Amen.
Everything we read about Samaritans were pretty good. Getting saved, the woman at the well in John 4 was a Samaritan.
Right.
Amen. Now, she had her issues, obviously. She'd been married, what, 5 times? And the guy she had now was, she was just living with this guy. And, I mean, that she lived a rough life. But Jesus said on that well, for that purpose, to meet this woman that came down at a certain time, Jesus already knew that, and to meet this woman and to save her soul. You see that in John chapter 4.
Amen.
I'm not going to read too much to read the whole thing. But here's a woman that was a Samaritan that listened to Jesus and believed and received him as Lord and Savior. Not only just her. She did run into town when Jesus said, go and get your husband, or you know, the one you're living with. And she went in and she told everybody she came in touch with that she, hey, you got to come out and see the man that told me all that ever I did. And a lot of the people in the town, in the village, got saved because of this Samaritan woman.
That's right.
This Samaritan woman was a soul winner.
Amen.
She became a great witness for God. And then these people came out at the witness of this woman, and they saw for themselves Jesus Christ, and they believed because of what she said, but they also believed because of meeting Jesus Christ.
Right.
This village, the entire village, could have gotten saved that day because of the encounter that Jesus had with this woman.
Right.
But she was a Samaritan. She was half Jew, half Gentile. She was looked down by the Jewish people of those days, and they didn't care for one another, and they had this rift between one another, going way, way, way back to the Old Testament times, back to the times of the kings, I believe it was, when the Samaritans had their own place on Mount Gerizim that they would go and worship. And matter of fact, on that mount, they had built a temple very similar to the temple in Jerusalem, but they had their own little worship station, they had their own little worship ways that they did. That's what brought that division between them and the Jews.
Yeah.
But we see here that this woman, was being a Samaritan, got saved and trusted Christ as her Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So these different Samaritans, we've got the gratitude of this leper in Luke 17. We've got the goodness of the Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. We got the grace shown to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. But then we got the groveling shown to Christ in John chapter 8, verse 48. But I don't see anything where Samaritans, that Jesus didn't meet their spiritual need. You know that Jesus loved every one of these people? He loved the Samaritans just as much as he loved the Jewish people. He loved that maniac of Gadara to travel across the Sea of Galilee to come and to minister to him and cast out those devils and to meet his spiritual need. The Jews hated the Samaritans, but the Lord loved and saved them.
Amen.
There's a lot of hate today in America.
Yeah, that's for sure.
There's a major division in this country
that
only Christ can bring and remove that division and bring people closer together. We're on the brink of a civil war.
Yep.
Like it or not, we are. We're on the brink of something happening in this country that has not happened since in the 1860s when the Civil War broke out in this country. There are so much hate between going back and forth, Democrats, Republicans, other groups of people. It's very sad that we're living in this day and age that we're living in. It's sad, but in the same sentence, it's exciting because we believe the Lord's coming back in our time.
Amen.
The Lord loves everybody.
That's right.
And we Christians ought to have that same kind of love. But there's a lot of Christians that don't have that same kind of love. There's a lot of Christians that do a lot of judging because of race or whatever. Different classes of people. We look down our nose on certain individuals and people. There are Baptist churches that are Bible-believing Baptist churches that accept some people into their ministry and reject others. Shame on us.
Amen.
Shame on Bible believers to have that kind of an attitude.
Yes, sir.
What makes you think that you're so much better? I'm not saying you personally. But what makes some of these churches think that they're so much better that they only accept certain groups in, certain kinds of people? I know some churches that if you don't have a beard, you're not welcome.
Amen.
I know some churches that if you have a beard, you're not welcome.
Wow.
There are some churches that, ladies, if your dress length is not down to your ankles, you're not welcome. And you'll be given something to put over your clothing when you get there. I know some churches that, guys, if you don't have a tie on, they'll hand you a tie at the door and make sure you have a tie. I've heard some churches that if you don't have sideburns, you're not in the will of God. And then I've heard some churches that if you don't have sideburns, it's foolishness.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say. It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I've been in the ministry long enough to hear all of these things, and it blows my mind. And Rich, you're out and about, you and Mary, and we see these things and we hear these things. And it's foolishness. We have standards that God doesn't have.
Yeah, that's right.
That's our problem. We have set up standards that it's not biblical.
Come on.
And I know we try to find a verse somewhere to prove prove what we believe, that you got to have a beard or you don't have a beard, and all of this crazy stuff, this nonsense here. I have known some churches that if a lost woman came in with the wrong kind of clothing, she wasn't welcome. And she was looked down upon. And she was told to leave. There's been some churches like that. How's this woman ever going to get saved?
Yeah.
Right.
And put on the right kind of clothing?
That's right.
You've got to get them in so they can hear the Word of God.
Yeah.
I believe in standards. I think every church should have some standards when it comes to the workers in the church. Men workers in the church should have standards. We should have standards for them, and we should have standards for the women workers in the church. But to reject people at the door when they're trying to come to hear the message is wrong.
Amen.
And we've got to be very, very careful as to how we conduct ourselves.
Yes, sir.
In the eyes of the community, in the eyes of other people that come to our church. There are some churches that if you have a tattoo on, you've got to cover that up when you enter the door.
Yeah.
I don't like tattoos. You know that. I brought a message against tattoos a while ago. Amen. I'm against all these piercings that are going on out there. And I'll even tell you, I'm against weird color hair.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, ladies, there's some ladies in here that color their hair. And that's okay. Just keep it like brown or blonde or gray or black or, but, you know, purples and pinks and weird reds, you know, I'm not all for that. You know what, tattoos and different colored hair and piercings, it just attracts attention, and that's what people are looking for today. They want the attention. Look at me. Look at my hair color. Look at my piercings. Look at my tattoos all over. It's to bring attention to one another. Did you know that if somebody came in here with purple hair and tattoos all over them and piercings, should we let them in?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. They can hear. What?
Doug brought hats.
Oh, Doug, you brought some hats? Did you bring hats for the bald people here? You did? That's all those hats are for the bald people?
Not
to cover up our bald heads?
Not just for bald.
No?
Lord.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes. Folks, we need to be thankful that the Lord would save our souls. Mm-hmm. Let me wrap this up here in Luke 17. What amazed me, again, is one man out of ten came back to give God the glory.
Amen.
One man out of ten was thankful. The other nine got a nice physical healing, but that's all they got. But you know, today, and I said this last week in the message that I brought, there are people today that care more about the physical healing than they
that's
do about
right.
the spiritual healing.
That's right.
They want a physical healing. And listen, if you got something wrong with you tonight, you want a physical healing. But what is more important, the physical or the spiritual healing? I believe the spiritual healing is far more important than the physical healing.
Amen.
And we've got a lot of sick people today in our churches.
Amen.
Amen. We have sick churches today.
Amen.
We have sick preachers today. And I'm not talking just in a physical sense. I'm talking in a spiritual sense.
Right.
And we all need a spiritual healing. All of us do. If you got an issue tonight that you're dealing with, you need a spiritual healing to take care of that issue that you're going through, whatever it is that you're trying to fight or whatever. We've got a lot of Christians today that are physically, I should say, spiritually sick.
Yeah.
Spiritually sick. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to read and study their Bibles. They want to get their fire insurance and get saved, and then that's it. Leave me alone, I'll see you later. They're very much like the nine that we see in the Bible. One out of ten, 10%, 10% came back and gave God glory.
Amen.
10%. The other 90 said, hey, thanks for healing me. They didn't even say thanks, but they went off on their life like, hey, I got my physical healing, I'm okay. There are people today that will beg God for a physical healing, and sometimes God will do that. Sometimes God will physically heal an infirmity, right? I mean, God is in a healing business still. I'm not against that. I think God is. You've got a physical infirmity, you should pray and ask God to help you with that. And you should get other people to pray for that physical infirmity to try to help you. But I still believe that the spiritual is far more important than the physical.
Amen.
That's right.
This man came and fell down on his face, giving him thanks, in verse 16 of Luke 17. Giving him thanks. We have a lot of ungrateful Christians today.
Yeah, come on.
We have a lot of unthankful Christians today.
Yeah.
There are too many people that are just thinking about themselves all the time, and they're not being thankful for what God has done for them.
Amen. Right. That's good.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
in everything.
Amen.
Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Now that term in is in the midst of every situation. As you're going through something in your life, you need to give thanks for it. You thank God. Have a thankful attitude. Well, I don't like what I'm going through. Well, of course you don't like what you're going through. But could you say, Lord, I'm going through this physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, whatever situation, Lord, I just want to give you thanks for it and help me through it.
Mm-hmm.
See, it says in everything. So as we're going through things in our life, look at Ephesians 5:20. As we're going through things in our life, we need to have a thankful attitude.
Right.
Again, we have so many today that just have no thankful attitude at all.
Right.
Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Ephesians says we need to be thankful for all things. And when he wrote to the Thessalonians, he says, in everything, give thanks. I think that pretty much covers everything.
Yep.
The in and the for, whatever it is you're going through, we need to be thankful. These other nine should have come back and fallen on their faces and thanked the Lord Jesus Christ for healing them, but they didn't. They ran away as fast as they could. They went off to their families. They went off to society. They went back into, after they showed themselves to the priest, and they just got themselves back into whatever it is that they were in. And I'm sure that they were happy and glad, but they weren't thankful. They weren't thankful for what they got.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks to His name. Are you really thankful tonight?
Amen. Come on.
Or are you a grumbler and a griper and a complainer tonight?
Come on.
See, grumblers, gripers, and complainers aren't very thankful.
That's right.
Because they want to grumble and gripe about everything. And when we grumble and gripe about things, we're not thankful.
That's right.
For things.
God,
when we're constantly negative, that's not being thankful. What I see in this man, this Samaritan that came back, I mean, he was just so grateful that the Lord healed him that he didn't want just a physical healing. He knew he needed something else. He needed a spiritual healing. So when he comes back to Jesus Christ and he's worshiping and he's thanking Him. Do you know that being thankful is a major part of our worship?
Yeah.
Amen.
Being thankful is right up there with everything else. Look at Philippians chapter 4. You can't effectively worship God unless you're thankful.
Amen. That's right.
You can try it all you want, but it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Christians, I believe, today that are trying to worship God, but they're having a real hard time. And the problem is they're not thankful. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, what?
With
thanksgiving.
Amen.
Let your requests be made known unto God. And then verse 7 is so important. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a lot of people today that don't have verse 7 because they're not doing verse 6 like they should.
Right, right.
They're not thankful. They're not coming to God with that thanksgiving. They're praying, they're begging God for things, and they want a physical healing, and they want this, and they want that, but they're not giving God any thanks when they come to God. See, when we pray, part of our worship is just being thankful. When I sit down and read and pray, I thank God for a whole bunch of things.
Amen.
I thank Him for saving my soul. I thank Him for the air that I'm breathing. I thank Him for the water that I drink. I thank Him for the sunshine out. I thank Him for a whole bunch of things. I thank Him for the birds chirping. I even have to thank Him for the snow in the winter.
Amen.
Because God made it.
Amen.
Everything that God made, we have to thank Him for. God made the cold for a reason. Put those snakes in the ground and keep them there for the winter. That's a blessing. I don't see a snake all winter long. Unless I go to the zoo and I look behind a glass somewhere. And I don't even like to see him behind a glass somewhere. Are we thankful like this one that came back? I guess the end question tonight is, are you like the one or are you more like the nine? Are you like the one that came back, like the Samaritan? Are you like the nine that went running off with their physical healing and happy for the moment, but not thankful? Back to our text there. Jesus in verse 17, Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? And he did. He cleansed all 10 of them, right?
Amen.
But where are the nine? What a question that the Lord asks. Where's the nine?
Amen.
I just cleansed 10 people, and one came running back to me. Where's the nine? I wonder if the Lord is asking that question now. Huh. You know, when the Lord returns, is he going to find faith on the earth?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where's the nine? Mm-hmm. Where's the 90% of people today that he has healed, that he has helped, that he has done something for, and yet there's no gratitude whatsoever? It's gimme, 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 I want more and more and more. It's the attitude that we have today, even in our Christianity. There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger. And he said unto him, verse 19, uh-huh, sweet words, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Amen.
Right.
Thy faith hath made thee whole. What happened with that man is he got a wonderful physical healing, yes. Boy, the leprosy is gone, but he just got saved. He became a believer. Now he's completely whole. The other nine didn't get that. I don't believe it. I don't believe the nine got saved. Oh, they got a physical healing, and they're, like I said, they're happy for the moment. But they didn't get that inner spiritual healing. They didn't get that what you and I got when we got saved. The assurance of salvation. Knowing where you're going to spend eternity when you die. Amen. Answers to prayer. Yeah. Walking with God on a daily basis. Reading and understanding His Word. Talking with Him. And worshiping Him. Worshiping together with others. The only thing that the nine could do is they could all get together and with their families and have a cookout and be happy that they were cleansed from their leprosy.
That's good, preacher. That's good.
They didn't go to church, I'm sure, after that.
Uh-huh.
They didn't gather together with their families and have devotions. They weren't together reading the Word of God together and worshiping. They didn't attend a synagogue or a church like we have. But that one man, he's whole. He's a believer now.
Amen.
He is healed physically, but he is healed spiritually.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Saved and on his way to heaven. Are you like the one or are you like the nine? How's your attitude tonight? Well, you can answer that. God will answer it too. He'll help you with that. Do you have an attitude of thanksgiving? Thankful for and in things? Or do you complain about a lot of stuff?
Lord, forgive us.
Are you discouraged over everything that goes on in your life? Can you thank God for and in? We saw those for and in. Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. Ephesians, we are to thank God for what we're going through in our life. Easier said than done, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to preach it. A whole other thing to walk away from the pulpit and live it. I know. I wear shoes just like you do.
Yeah.
I'm flesh just like you. But thank God for the one that came back and gave God the glory.
Amen.
Let's try to be like the one.
Amen.
I don't want Jesus to say, where's Terry Fenn?
Yeah.
Where's Steve Bunnell? Where's Brennan Purdy? Where's Bob Foreman? Where's Jim Downer? Where's Thomas? Why would you? We don't want him to do that.
Amen.
I want to be like the one.
That's right. Amen.
Don't you want to be like the one?
Amen.
Thankful for what God has done for you. Father, thank you again for this passage of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for the example that we see of this one Samaritan that came back and gave you thanks, gave you glory, and recognized you as God. The other nine didn't do that. The other nine got the physical healing, but that's all they got. They didn't get any spiritual. They got nothing that dealt with their eternal life. But Lord, we're thankful for the one that came back. And Lord, thank you for those today that are thankful, those that are more concerned about their spiritual healing than they are about their physical healing.
That's right.
Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the blessings you give to us. Again, thank you for so much. We just, in order for us to worship, in order for us to come together and even pray to you, we need to have a thankful attitude in order for you to hear our prayers. Lord, bless the invitation, whatever it is that you have for us tonight. If there's a lost soul in this room, please convict them of their lost condition and their need to be saved. And Lord, convict us Christians of our need to be more thankful and our need to have a better attitude about things of life. Lord, just help us to be like the one. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Rich, what song you got for us?
390.
Let's stand and sing that.